I didn't give Linda my title, but if I had, you would see it there. Abomination. Abomination. When you hear the word abomination, what comes to mind? Is there an image, a situation, or something else that immediately pops into your head? As I chose that single word as the title of my sermon, it seemed like, as you can see, it demanded an exclamation point. Isn't it that kind of word? You agree? And as I thought about the word a bit, it reminded me of a scene in a movie from 2003 called Underworld. Anybody seen that?
Yep.
By the way, I'm not saying that people should watch movies I watch. I wrestle with that myself. But I did watch this one. It is a vampire flick where the bloodsuckers are at war with the werewolves, which they call lycans. We're going to join the film where the lead character, Selene, has just discovered that the head vampire killed her family and then turned her into a vampire and was blaming the death, or had historically blamed the death, of her loved ones on the werewolves. Selene says, "It wasn't the lycans, it was you. How could you bear my trust knowing that you killed my family?" Victor, with a K, I guess, to make it cooler. Victor. "Yes, I have taken from you, but I have given so much more. Is it not a fair trade for life I have granted you, the gift of immortality?" Selene, "And the life of your daughter, your own flesh and blood," who Victor had killed. Victor, "I loved my daughter, but the abomination growing in her womb was a betrayal of me and the coven. I did what was necessary to protect the species. I am forced to yet do it again." Anybody kind of figure out what that abomination is at this point? Well, you saw the movie. Of course you know what the abomination is. What Victor was calling an abomination was the fruit of a relationship between his daughter and, gasp, the lycan she loved. And you know, we might all immediately condemn the fictional Victor's prejudice, but you know, our history has been filled with those kind of unenlightened moments too, right? Otherwise, we wouldn't have a term like half-breed, would we? And I only have old Westerns to go by. I'm not quite that old, guys. I only have old Westerns to go by, but it seemed to me that there are plenty of 18th century Americans who thought the fruit of an Indian and a white man was an abomination, didn't they? But the good news is that with the passage of time and the fact that you all are such nice people, that it is very unlikely that when I said, "What pops into your mind when you hear the word abomination," that anybody sitting here came up with half-breed. Or, for that matter, right now thinks that a quote-unquote half-breed is an abomination, other than maybe Cher. Just kidding, sorry. Now, how many people have heard that song? Right, okay, so it's fair. I may not agree with her political views, but I don't think she's an abomination. However, I do suspect at least a couple of you had these two verses in mind when you heard the word abomination. So let's go ahead and turn there. Leviticus 18:22. I see the Bibles in the front row are broken again. Leviticus 18:22. It's a really nice Bible sitting next to you, Marshall, right there. See the one that says the Bible? Are we there? Leviticus 18:22. "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination." And then let's turn to 20:13. So my wife started looking at my notes this morning because she couldn't make it. Augie's not feeling well. She goes, "You're doing another sermon on homosexuality?" I'm like, "No, and stop cheating." Leviticus 20:13. Are we there? "If a man lies with a male as with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood is upon them." Now, I'm not saying everybody here, when they heard the word abomination, would have immediately connected that word with those verses. But I think that anybody who has seriously and honestly studied what the Bible teaches about homosexuality probably has a clear mental link between the two, because both are very clear and concise. And you know, back at the Pleasant View Church of Christ in Pleasanton, California, that word abomination was brought up in one of my Bible studies. I can't exactly remember. I was leading classes on early minor prophets, and I don't know how it led to it, but people were associating what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah to practicing homosexuality. And I agree they have good reason to, but I directed my class to these verses in Ezekiel, and I've included a few extra, but these verses in Ezekiel. Let's turn to Ezekiel 16, 44 through 50. Ezekiel 16, 44 through 50. And I know I've mentioned these to some people here, but let's go ahead and look at the verses that I pointed them to. Are we there? Okay. Ezekiel 16, 44 through 50. I may have you read something, Matt, but I'll be kind. I won't make you read these. Behold, everyone who uses Proverbs will use this proverb about you, like mother, like daughter. You are the daughter of your mother who loathed her husband and her children, and you are the sister of your sisters who loathed their husbands and their children. Your mother was a Hittite and your father an Amorite. And your elder sister Samaria, who lived with her daughters to the north of you, and your younger sister, who lived to the south of you, is Sodom and her daughters. Not only did you walk in their ways and do according to their abominations, when in very little time you were more corrupt than they in all your ways. As I live, declares the Lord God, your sister Sodom and her daughters have not done as you and your daughters have done. Behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had pride, excess of food, and prosperous ease, but did not aid the poor and needy. They were haughty and did an abomination before me, so I removed them when I saw it. What does that long passage in Ezekiel say was the guilt of Sodom? Homosexuality? Nope, not in those words. Nope. Although they had plenty, they did not aid the poor and needy. And speaking of the word abomination, right after calling them out for not helping the poor, it says in part, they were haughty and did an abomination before me. That's Ezekiel 16:50 in the first part. And I'm not proposing, by the way, that we Christians have it all wrong and God had no problem with homosexuality in Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm convicted and convinced that he was very unhappy with that practice with them. What I was trying to point out to my class, however, was that wasn't the only sin that they had a problem with. It was just another indicator of their degenerate state. That when we look at something like homosexuality, it's easy to focus on that one thing, but it was just an indicator of their degenerate state. And some of my class agreed with and appreciated my point, others not so much. One guy basically said the word abomination, which we heard twice in there, but the word abomination showed Sodom's issue was with homosexuality. Because everybody knows, he didn't say this, but everybody knows that abomination means homosexuality, right? Now, that his comment was near the end of the class, and I don't think I even considered how to respond. It was time to wrap things up. But if I continue to read through all 66 this year, I have been amazed at the number of things that the Bible calls an abomination. In many respects, I wish I could have replied to him, hey, let's do a word search and see what the Bible defines as an abomination. What does it list as an abomination? And since I didn't, and that you guys are a bit of a captive audience, I'm going to do a condensed version of that with you. And are your scripture flipping fingers ready? We all set? Mine aren't, not after moving. I'm surprised they're even still moving. See, there's somebody else. Like I said, by the way, with a move, I told my wife to tell her mom, there was a period of time we had some boxes that we had left with them. I told her to apologize profusely for me, because now I know how much it stinks to have every time you move, you have to move your kids' boxes. So, basically, we're going to be looking at a bunch of cases where the same Hebrew word for abomination in those two verses in Leviticus that we looked at are found elsewhere in Scripture. We will be putting together an abominable list. Okay, and those first two verses give us the number one entry. Entry number one on our list, which is? Practicing. I like saying practicing. Practicing homosexuality is an abomination. And don't worry, I'm not going to make you look up every case I give, but let's go ahead and turn to Deuteronomy 22:5 together. Deuteronomy 22:5. By the way, I don't have this in my notes, but what's interesting as we go through these, you know how we say, hate the sin, love the sinner? In some of these verses, by the way, God doesn't say X is an abomination. He says, so-and-so who practices X is an abomination. Just something to consider. And I'm not saying that you now should go look down on homosexuals. Quite the opposite. We all have sin, right? But I'm just saying we kind of sugarcoat things sometimes when I don't think God wants it sugarcoated. He wants people to know what state they're in. So this is Deuteronomy 22:5. A woman shall not wear a man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak, for whoever does these things is an abomination before the Lord your God. So what does that sound like he's condemning?
Cross-dressing?
What's the technical term? Transvestitism or transvestism? I think I've seen it both ways. Transvestitism, that's part of the LGBT. That's the T. Although I've noticed that's getting longer and longer as I think of more sexual perversions to tack on to the end. Although that is the natural reading, I should point out that some believe it was directed to pagan worship. This is prohibition was no doubt intended to exclude the idolatrous customs of heathen, as well as to prevent the evil which would be produced by the introduction of such customs. Nothing was more common among idolaters than for men in the worship of several of their gods to put on garments worn by women, particularly in the worship of Venus, to which that of Ashtaroth among the Canaanites bore a striking resemblance. The women were accustomed to appear in armor before her and the men in women's apparel. But independently of this, the practice has produced the greatest confusion in society and has been productive of the grossest crimes. And it goes on a little bit longer. So, although I wanted you to be aware that there are dissenting opinions on what that's about, I personally go, if you have the English Standard Version Study Bible, or the John MacArthur, both of them say it's transvestitism. That number two in our list, transvestitism, is an abomination. And that doesn't mean that a woman can't wear a guy's shirt once. That's fine, okay? And if you think about it, considering the fact that transvestitism is linked to homosexuality, it kind of makes sense, right? It's not like there's, like if you only have a little arsenic, it's okay, right? Okay, let's stand Deuteronomy for our next entry. Verse 27:15, chapter 27, verse 15. 27:15. This shouldn't be surprising. Deuteronomy 27:15. Cursed be the man who makes a carved or cast metal image, an abomination to the Lord, a thing made by the hands of a craftsman, and sets it up in secret, and all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Right? So number three in our list, idols are an abomination. Idols are an abomination. And speaking of Deuteronomy, it'll give us another item. This is Deuteronomy 25:13-16, where it says, You shall not have in your bag two kinds of weights, a large and a small. You shall not have in your house two kinds of measures, a large and a small. A full and fair weight you shall have, a full and fair measure you shall have, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. For all who do such things, all who act dishonestly, notice what I said about how they're not talking about the act. All who do such things, all who act dishonestly, are an abomination to the Lord your God. Number four, dishonesty and cheating are an abomination. Not only that, but Proverbs says, do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways, for the devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence. That's Proverbs 3, 31 through 32. Proverbs teaches, number five, a devious person is an abomination. Are we going too slow? Well, I'll tell you what. Let's look at the next one in Proverbs together. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. We'll see if we can get our list going a bit faster than I've been going. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. Are you there? There are six things. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil. A false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. Number six, haughty eyes are an abomination. Number seven, a lying tongue is an abomination. Number eight, hands that shed innocent blood are an abomination. Number nine, a heart that devises wicked plans is an abomination. Number 10, feet that make haste to run to evil are an abomination. Number 11, a false witness is an abomination. And number 12, one who sows discord is an abomination. Well, we've hit a dozen abominations. We must be running out, right? Not so much. Worshipping another god is an abomination. That's Deuteronomy 17, 2 through 7. A blemished or defective sacrifice is an abomination. Deuteronomy 17, 1. Certain foods were an abomination. See Deuteronomy 14, 3 through 21. Donations to the church from tainted sources. You have to read about it to understand. I figured instead of being specific. But basically, it appears that donations to the church from tainted sources is an abomination. Take a look at Deuteronomy 23:18. This shouldn't be surprising. Burning your children is an abomination. Depends which kids. See 2 Chronicles 28:1-3. Those of crooked heart are an abomination. Proverbs 11:20 in part. Lying lips are an abomination. Proverbs 12:22 in part. And yes, I do realize that's basically a repeat of number seven, that a lying tongue is an abomination, but the preacher gets some editorial control, doesn't he? Number 20, the way of the wicked is an abomination, which is Proverbs 15:9 in part. Not only that, 21, the very thoughts of the wicked are an abomination, Proverbs 15:26. Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination. That's number 22, Proverbs 16:5 in part. Number 23, perverted justice is an abomination. See Proverbs 17:15. And even prayer can be an abomination. For instance, Proverbs 28:9 says, if one turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. And remember, this is the same Hebrew word that we read twice in Leviticus. Now that we are at two dozen biblical abominations, do you think the well has run dry?
Nope.
Nope. I'll tell you what. To wrap up, let's look at one more reference. Ezekiel 18. Back into Ezekiel 18. We're going to look at verses 10 through 13. Ezekiel 18, 10 through 13. We're there, Ezekiel 18, 10 through 13. I never want to discourage people from doing it. That's why we're waiting. Good, thank you. If he fathers a son who is violent, a shedder of blood, who does any of these things, though he himself did none of these things, who even eats upon the mountains, defiles his neighbor's wife, oppresses the poor and needy, commits robbery, does not restore the pledge, lifts up his eyes to idols, commits abomination, lends at interest, and takes profit, shall he then live? He shall not live. He has done all these abominations. Notice those words. He has done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon himself. And it may not have been very clear, but remember, right at the end, the last sentence begins with, he has done all these abominations, which means the things we were listening before are abominations. So now we have these additions. Murder is an abomination. Adultery is an abomination. Oppressing the poor and needy is an abomination. Robbery is an abomination. Breaking an oath is an abomination. And number 30, lending at interest and taking a profit is an abomination, which is kind of interesting. We'd have to look at the application, but that's what it said. I think it fits the taking advantage, basically. Now that we've reached 30 abominations, are you all abominated out?
Yes.
We could go on, but I really don't think there'd be much benefit at this point. How many here have committed an abomination? I was going to say, I suspect everybody gets caught by the lying lips and lying heart, because we've all told at least one lie in our lives. And during that same class with the Pleasant View Church of Christ, I asked them if they thought there could be such thing as a Christian practicing homosexual. A Christian practicing homosexual. How many here think there could be? Anybody? Maybe. Nobody in the class thought there could be a Christian practicing homosexual. And I understand. I'm not saying there can be. I'm just saying I understand. Then I asked them, how many people think there could be a Christian practicing gossip? That's a bit harder, isn't it? Yeah, a bit harder. Is gossiping a sin? So why did I just list 30 abominations? And why did I just give that last little dialogue about gossip versus homosexual? Did I do it to minimize just how horrendous the sin of homosexuality is, or practicing homosexuality? That by showing how many other things that God considers an abomination, including things that you and I have been guilty of, that we Christians maybe need to back off condemning homosexuality and embrace the cause celebre of modern society. And it really is a celebrated cause at this point, isn't it? No, that's not why I listed them. Quite the opposite. I listed them to show just as bad all sin is. Let me repeat that. The reason I listed 30 biblical abominations is to make it clear how bad all sin is. It is very easy to focus on the obvious sins, especially when we aren't guilty of them, isn't it? But sin itself is an abomination. It's not the way it was meant to be. All sin is an abomination. And yes, practicing homosexuality is a sin. And every Christian who is true to their faith and to Scripture, every Christian who is true to their faith and to Scripture, will not sugarcoat that fact. We talked during Bible study about people who think they are saved but are going to hell. And if you tell a homosexual that what he is doing or she is doing is okay, you're just buying them a one-way ticket to hell. But our sins, your sins, and my sins are no less of an issue than a homosexual's. And remember, arrogance is an abomination. Remember that in the list? So we can't look down on homosexuals. And no matter how minor your sin is or my sin is, the fact remains that the wages of sin is death. But praise God, and we read this in Romans 6:23, lets us know that we aren't stuck in this fate. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, as we rightfully condemn sin in any form, let's not be haughty, because our sins are an abomination too. But more importantly, if you haven't already, and you're sitting here, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and for the forgiveness of your sins, because the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And once again, we have a choice, right? Death or eternity. It's your choice.